Let's go to Proverbs 13:13. We've been using this verse numerous times. Let's go ahead and read it one more time tonight as we part three of our study about walking with God and the importance of it. While you're turning to Proverbs 13, on this day in 1536, William Tyndale was burned at the stake for translating the Bible into English. Think about it. What you have in your hand right now, not just William Tyndale, but he's one man that burned at the stake. His last words, "Lord, open the king of England's eyes." For Tyndale, a Bible, quote, "for the people," quote, end quote, meant all could drink from God's word without pressure or pretext and without a priest to read or interpret. You're going to walk out of here tonight and you're going to be able to take a Bible home with you. You don't need to come to me and say, you know, read the Bible for me. You can read it yourself. Yes, sometimes you might have questions about it. That's a little different. Remember the prayer he prayed? Lord, open the King of England's eyes. 2 years later, think about 2 years. 2 years used to seem like a long time. It doesn't anymore. At 48, 2 years seems like 2 weeks. King Henry VIII authorized the distribution of the Matthew Bible. Now remember, we're talking pre-1611. Do a little research on it, you're going to find that the King James Bible, King James Version, was not the first English Bible. There were numerous English translations. And much of the Matthew Bible, Matthew, you didn't know you had a Bible named after you, huh? Much of the Matthew Bible, guess what? Was from William Tyndale. His last prayer, open the king's eyes. 2 years later, the King of England said, distribute the Matthew Bible. You know, you turn the news on the radio, and we turn the news on CBC, you know, beware, don't listen to it long. But, you know, we have a leader of Canada that is probably as far from the Bible as a lot of people I know. But it only took 2 years. And the leader of England said, print the Bible. A lot of times I think we don't think that can happen again. May God help us to pray like William Tyndale. Lord, open the eyes of the Prime Minister of Canada. How often do you pray for the Prime Minister? Probably not enough, right? Today we celebrate Tyndale's life and the impact he made on Bible translation and access to the Scripture. Wow. Amen? Amen. Proverbs 13:13. We've looked at it now, and let's look at it one more time tonight. Whoso despiseth the word. Who remembers what that word despiseth is? We talked about it, but it's been 2 weeks ago. Wow, that's a long time ago. Remember 2 years, 2 weeks? Kind of can be the same. Anybody have an idea? Means does not give proper attention to. Okay? Does not give proper attention to. That's what that word means there. Shall be destroyed. In other words, how much attention do we give to God's word? But he that feareth the commandment, which is another word for the word of God, commandment, shall be rewarded. shall be rewarded. Heavenly Father, thank you for this meeting thus far, and thank you for the history of the Bible and for just so many others. We mentioned one that's quite famous, but so many others that will never be named this side of heaven that really gave so much, and many gave their life. Many gave up jobs and careers and things because of the persecution they faced standing for your word. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, tonight that you would create a fire in our hearts, fan the fire that's in our heart to be more of a fire for you, and especially your word. Lord, I'm no William Tyndale, I know that. Lord, I pray that we at Anchor Baptist Church would faithfully pray that you would open the eyes of Justin Trudeau and his family. And I pray that even right now, wherever he might be, that he would be confronted with his own sin and that he would humble himself. He would get saved. We know you can turn the tide. And we're praying for that according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Despiseth, does not give proper attention to. How much attention do we give to the Word of God? Well, I'll tell you how we know how much attention we give to the Word of God, and that is, how much is the Word of God transforming us? Let's go to very familiar verses in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12, and then I'm going to give you 8 benefits of a daily walk with God. But let's look at this. Many of you know this verse from memory. Romans chapter 12, written by the Apostle Paul to the Christians at Rome. And Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, God's word says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." If I'm giving attention to the word of God, I guarantee you what's going to happen is it's going to transform me. If I'm giving attention to the principles and the precepts and the commands of the Word of God, it's going to change me. It will change me. And that's what I need. That's what you need, is not just a reading schedule, but a transformation time. That can happen every day. That doesn't mean we're getting saved every day, but our mind is being renewed every day by the power of the Word of God. Isn't it a blessing to have a Bible tonight? What a blessing it is. You think about it. Many places in the world speak different languages, different dialects. They're still waiting to have the Bible translated into their language or into their dialect. And so let's take advantage of what God has given us. So as we walk with God, as we remember some things that we've talked about in weeks behind us, that it's not all about the quantity of, you know, reading a lot of the Bible and reading a lot of the Bible, but it's taking even in a quality amount of the Bible and then digesting that and getting a dictionary and maybe looking up a verse, a word, if we don't know what it means. How many of you in here tonight, English is your second language? Raise your hand. Raise it high. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 tonight. How many of you online, English is your second language? I see all those hands out there. Okay, 12 out of however many. I would say at least a third. And guess what? That's not to say you need the dictionary more than I do. I need the dictionary, okay? But that dictionary is so helpful. It will help you. Yes, the Strong's Concordance and so forth and so on, but it's taking the time. Again, it's setting aside getting through something fast and be done with it and actually taking it in. You know, when you go to a mealtime, I'm so guilty of this. You know, you go to mealtime and my wife, you ladies, some of you men that cook, you know, you've spent hours, you've spent a lot of time working through that thing, following the recipe, maybe especially when it's a brand new recipe, you know, and you did this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, it's just like a whirlwind. Family comes at the table, and they're gone, and all the food's gone, and there's the dirty dishes, and Mom has to do those too. I hope not. You know what that feels like? There's a beautiful meal that's been prepared, and we just eat it really fast, and we're done. You know what? That's nothing compared to the Bible, but there is a lot of meals in here. God's prepared a meal in here for you tomorrow morning. I don't know what it's going to be, but there's breakfast in here for you. And he's got it ready. The key is, are you going to sit down and take the time? Am I going to sit down and take the time to let it transform me, to let it renew my mind, to let it take away fear and put faith in there? That'll happen by the Word of God. That'll happen by the Word of God. So let's see how many of these eight things we can give you tonight. Have something to write with if you don't, and write these down. And these are eight things that we've written down about benefits of a daily walk. Benefits of a daily walk with God. Okay? Number one, we will have assurance of our salvation. Assurance of our salvation. This is more of a topical Bible study tonight as we look at all of these. And so have your fingers ready to go through the pages. Turn to John 6. John 6, and you can write these down, and you can refer to them at another time. You can pass these on to someone else. God's Word, nothing new under the sun, but these verses are given to you to give to someone else. They've been given to me to give to someone else, and tonight, that's you. And so, let's jot them down and meditate and think about them. John 6, 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, have you came to Jesus? Have you been saved? If you're saved and you know it, say amen. Amen. So you came to Jesus. You came to Jesus. Guess what that verse says here? I will in no wise cast out. There's no way. That's what that word no wise means. It basically means there's no way that if you've come to Jesus and he will not turn you away. Just like the lady tonight. Isn't that a great story from Richmond Hill? Patricia and the church van. What a great story. What a great testimony. And her coming to Christ. And so as we get into the Word of God, and the more we read it, the more we're going to understand that our salvation is secure. The Word of God, meditating on it, studying it, walking in it, our assurance is going to be strengthened. Turn over to chapter 10. Chapter 10, same book. These are just a few verses. These are just a few verses. John 10, 28. This is one of the books that I would recommend you reading all the way through. If you haven't read it all the way through yet, is the Gospel according to John. Read this book. If you haven't read it through yet, start tomorrow morning with John 1 and read one chapter a day. If you can get through one or maybe half a chapter and just start and read through all of John. I think there's 21 chapters. And so if you do one chapter a day, you could be done in 3 weeks. Not racing, though. So divide it up. But read the Gospel according to John. Look at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said, and I know them and they follow me. And then it says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Look, God doesn't want you and God doesn't want me to go through my Christian life every other day doubting if I'm saved. Our assurance is not in feelings. Remember that. You're definitely going to feel unsaved at some point. Why do we feel unsaved? I'll tell you why. Sin. The number one reason why we feel unsaved is because of sin. Why do I continue to do that if I'm saved? I'll tell you why you continue to do that if you're saved. Because you still have the old man or the old woman living with you. The old nature, it's still there. The old nature is very, very powerful. That's why we've got to die to the old nature every day and say, no, old man, you're not having the victory today. I'm going to listen to the new man. I'm listening to the Holy Spirit of God today. But when we listen to the old man and we sin, sometimes we wonder, how can I live this way and be a Christian? How can I can't believe I just talked that way to someone. How can I talk that way? And yet I call myself a Christian. I'm still struggling with this or that. And hey, folks, we all struggle with this or that. Your this may not be my this, and my that may not be your that. But we struggle with it. That doesn't mean I'm not saved, okay? It might mean that I'm not filled with the Spirit, and I'm definitely not filled with the Spirit, right? Because if we're filled with the Spirit, we will say no to sin. We will say no to temptation if we're filled with the Spirit. Okay? So the devil wants me, the devil wants us tonight to constantly be living in a state of wondering, am I saved? Am I not saved? Am I saved? Am I not? And you know what? When we're living like that, our service for God is really, it's not even there. Because we don't want to serve God because I don't even know if I'm saved. Now, I'm not trying to say you're not saved tonight. Maybe you aren't saved tonight. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. That's the only way you can become a Christian. You don't become a Christian by walking into a Baptist church. You don't become a Christian by getting baptized or by taking the Lord's table. No, you become a Christian through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But when we get into the Word of God as a Christian, we get into this book, it helps us to have assurance of salvation. Turn to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. This is one of the benefits of a walk with God. Not in any particular order necessarily, although I would submit to you personally that if assurance of salvation is an issue, there's going to be a lot of other issues in your life. Constantly wondering, am I saved or am I lost? Am I saved or am I lost? Okay, can I help you? We're going to read first. Let's read 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. Again, another book of the Bible, we're going to be talking about it here. I keep saying it, but we're not ready yet, but we're getting there, is the book of 1 John. Oh, I'd like to encourage you, when you're done reading John, then go over to 1 John and read it. There's 5 chapters in 1 John. You could read it once a week for a month and read it 4 times in a month and just keep reading it over and over. And we're going to talk about the book of 1 John here. That ye may know that ye have what kind of life, church? Eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Skip up, go back up to verse 11. And this is the record. I think we talked about that last week, didn't we? Did you hit on that one last week? In RU, okay. And this is the record that God hath given to us what kind of life? Eternal life. And this life is in you. Does it say that? And this life is in good works. No, so you don't have assurance of salvation because you're working for the Lord. No, you don't. Your eternal security is in the Son. It's right there in verse 11. And this life is in the Son. I don't have eternal security tonight because I'm a church member, because I'm a pastor, blah, blah, blah. You could add all of it you want to. No, I have eternal life tonight because the Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is my security. Verse 11, and this is the record, or verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life. In the context, what kind of life? Eternal life. He that hath the Son hath eternal life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not eternal life, or hath not life. Yeah. So, eternal security is a Bible doctrine. Assurance of salvation is a benefit of a daily walk with God. Number two. What is another benefit of a daily walk with God is that we learn how to identify sin and deal with it. We learn how to identify sin and deal with it. You're in 1 John. Skip back to chapter 1. 1 John 1, please. 1 John 1, 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, you can just imagine that fellow over in the Philippines. Can you imagine him with me tonight? Brother Cyril, as he's sitting in his home during COVID and he's opening up the Word of God, he has no idea if he's going to go to hell or heaven or what, and he's involved in rock and roll music and rock and roll video games and on it goes. And he opens up the Word of God and he begins to read the Word of God, and this book is alive. And he begins to recognize, oh my, I'm in rough shape. I'm a mess. And he begins to read about Jesus Christ. I don't know what exactly that he read, but he begins to read about salvation. He begins to read about the cross. He begins to read about forgiveness. And the Holy Spirit of God brings conviction upon him. And he goes from darkness to light just like that. Same thing with Patricia over in Richmond Hill. The Word of God, the Word of God. And as a Christian, we believe 1 John is written to Christians. Believers, if you're saved tonight, you're not free from the old nature. It's still there. So that's why it says here, if we say that we have no sin, I don't believe that anybody lives their Christian life free of sin. We still sin. So what do we do with it? Well, we identify it. One of the things we do with it in verse 9 is we agree with God about it. Agree with God. That's what the word confess means. To agree with God. What else do we do with it? We seek His forgiveness. We seek His cleansing. So that we don't have that guilt hanging over our head. So that we don't have that, 5 years ago this or 10 years ago that. I'm so thankful for the cleansing power of the blood of the Lamb. And tonight, it's available to us. So we identify sin and deal with it. Let's look at a couple other verses. Let's go to the Gospel of John, John 15. We're reading our Bible, and we come to a verse, and it's talking about husbands, and it's talking about wives, or it's talking about children. And Ephesians 5 there talks about the family relationship, or we come to other verses of Scripture. Be kind and, you know, tenderhearted and forgiving one another, Ephesians 4:32, and we haven't been forgiving people. Well, the Bible is going to challenge us far greater than a sermon from a pastor. And we get confronted with that we're not willing to forgive somebody because of this and this and this and that. And we come to a verse in the Bible that says, hey, you're supposed to forgive. As God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And we're confronted with that, and we have to deal with it. If we don't deal with it, again, we become miserable. We can easily become miserable because now we have the Holy Spirit of God saying, you need to get that dealt with. You need to get that dealt with. That's the blessing, by the way. You say, oh, that sounds terrible. No, the sooner we confront it, the better. You know, if you've got a rotten tooth, you're not going to leave that rotten tooth in there. You might say, oh, I don't want to go to the dentist. I mean, the dentist is one of the worst places, and this is my personal testimony. The dentist is one of the worst places you can go to because, you know, I can make all the sounds for you, but I'll spare you that tonight. And, I remember when I was 6 years old. I think I've told you this before, maybe not. If you've heard it 5 times, sorry, it's the 6th time, okay? I was 6 years old. I was set to have major dental work done at 6 years old. I can remember it as plain as day. I got up out of the dentist chair and ran out of the dentist's office at 6 years old. I ran out of the place. I said, enough is enough. I want to keep this rotten tooth, or I want to keep this whatever. I don't remember what it was, a cavity. It probably was just a cavity. But when you're 6 years old, I mean, it's like you're having, you know, open heart surgery with this dental problem. No, because then when everything is done and the pain in the mouth is gone, you're like, oh, man, I'm so glad we dealt with it. Bring on the T-bone steaks. I mean, come on. Enough of the milkshakes. That's like sin. I don't want to deal with it. It's starting to rot. And it's starting to decay. I don't want to deal with it. Dealing with it means I have to humble myself. Hello. That's right. But when we open our Bible up and we read, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. See, this book will help us in our walk with God. There's so many benefits in this book that we dare not put it away. We dare not stop reading it. Look at John 15 and verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word. Now you're clean. The more we rinse off with the Bible, the cleaner we get. You're clean through the word that I've spoken unto you. Turn over to chapter 17. Some of these verses are probably well marked in your Bible. They should be. They should be well marked in our hearts too. Sanctify them, 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Sanctify, be set apart, meet for the master's use. Cleanse us, thy word is truth. That is a great benefit of being in the word of God. Identify sin and how to deal with it. Number three. Spiritual growth. You will not grow without the Bible. Impossible. You can't be saved without it, right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace. Let's turn over there. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace. We cannot grow without the Bible. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How do we know more about God? His Word. I heard somebody say this week, get in the book, get the book in you. Get in the book and get the book in you. Brother Tom Williams, preaching at our church where we grew up, was preaching this week in their missions conference. He said that. He said, build your life on Bible. Build your life on the Bible. You know what? These are simple statements, but the results are not so simple. Build your life on the Bible. The song says, build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ and the blessings will come down. Build your life on the rock. Spiritual growth comes in the Word of God. Psalm 119. How else do we benefit from our daily walk with God? Number four, it helps us with our decision making. Look at Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light into my path. How do we know what to do as a church? We learn from the Bible. How do we know what to do as a husband? Let the Bible guide us. How do we know, should we take this job? Should we move this way over here? Should we buy this? Should we do that? I mean, yeah, maybe it's not down to the minutest thing, but don't overlook the minutest thing though. Don't just go and do things. Let's say, God, I want to be led by your word. This is the light. I don't know what to do about this. Well, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Be in the Word of God. Look for direction from the Word of God. Look at verse number 130. It's on the same page, maybe in your Bible, maybe in mine it is. The entrance of thy words gives what? Light. It giveth understanding. The entrance of thy words gives understanding to the simple. I've never been this way before that I would be simple. I've never had to make a decision like this. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. If we're putting 5 minutes a day into the Bible, then we're going to have 5 minutes worth of understanding. How much understanding do you need? Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you. Well, I think we can take that to also say, if I'm going to put just a little bit of time into the Bible, I'm going to have a little bit of understanding. But the more time I put into the Bible, the more understanding I'm going to get out of it in my life. So the entrance of thy words giveth understanding. The entrance of thy words giveth light. Excuse me, it giveth understanding unto the simple. So decision making. Okay? John 15. Number five, what does the walk with God give me? Number five, it gives me a joyful life, a life filled with joy. Joy is not contingent upon circumstances. That's happiness. Okay? Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So everything in your week can go wrong and you can have joy. Joy is found in the Scriptures. Look at John chapter 15, verse number 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I guess if it could be full, then that must mean that there's a possibility that it could be a little bit low. Right? He's saying, I don't want you to have low joy. I don't want you to have mid-range joy. I want you to have full joy. And how are you going to have full joy? Listening to what he's spoken to us. How has he spoken to us? Right here. This is it. You can have the joy down in your heart. It's right here in the Word of God. Praise the Lord for that. I saw your Christmas tree. What was that all about? Christmas tree in October? Is that already up or is that an old? That's already up. Oh my, there you go. You've set the standard, Brother Tejada. Christmas tree is up. It was up in September. Wow. When did I take that mission trip to the Philippines? It was in the fall, I think. And Christmas was already up, all of it. So that must be what it is. Okay. And he had this big thing, joy, on his Christmas tree. Anyway, back to preaching. Okay, back to preaching. These things have I spoken unto you. God has something to tell you tomorrow. God has something to tell me the next day. It's that we can have full joy. It's right here. It's right in the Word of God. Look at, please, look at 1 John 1. Oh, we should live a joyful life. We have no excuse. We have no excuse. God is our Father. Jesus is our Savior. The Holy Spirit indwells us. We have a local church. We have a Bible that we can read in our own language. I mean, what more could we have? We have it all. We should have the joy all the time. I'll be the first one to admit, sometimes, though, my joy is low. You know what fills it right up? Just read Psalm. Start reading the book of Psalm. Because many of those Psalms were written when David was in a low moment, going through challenge, being chased by his own son. On and on it goes. And yet, look at what he was, how he was able to write under the power of the Spirit of God. 1 John 1, verse 4. And these things, what are these things? Well, the previous verses talk a lot about having fellowship with God. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. These things write we unto you. Right here, the written Word of God. It's so that you and I can have a life that the joy is full, a joyful life. Number 6, what else comes from our walk with God? Oh, this is what we need today. It also gives us a peaceful life. A peaceful life. Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. That love thy law, that's referring to the Scriptures. John 14 and 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Neither let it be afraid. John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. I mean, literally, you can kind of have this kind of a picture, if you will, in your mind, and I only say it as a visual illustration, but you could see someone in the morning sitting in their lazy boy chair, or sitting at the kitchen table, or sitting on the couch, or wherever you sit in the morning, if that's when you read your Bible, and you could have the Word of God open, and you could have this kind of this envisionist picture behind that person is flames of fire, or behind that person is just tragedy, and behind that person is the cares of this world. But here they are, open up the Bible, and it's open, and they're reading it, and everything around them is just going crazy, but they've got the Bible open, and they have a peace in their heart. Why? How does that come? It comes with a daily walk with God. Everything can be going haywire around us, just craziness. What great peace have they which love this book. God's given us peace, not as the world giveth. A peaceful life. Number 7, turn to Psalm 1. Number 7, what do we have Because we have a walk with God, we have a prosperous life. A prosperous life. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, what do you delight in tonight? Here's what it says. The one that's blessed, the one that's prosperous, delights in the law of the Lord, the word of God. The one that's prosperous is meditating, verse number 2, in his law doth he meditate day and night. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Do you want to have a prosperous marriage? That's a good place to say amen if you're married. Do you want to have a prosperous marriage? Here's how you have it. Daily walk with God. Do you want to have prosperous in your home, a prosperous home all the way around? Here's how you have it. The word of God. Do you want to have a prosperous business and relationship, relationships and business and work? I'm not saying all the money in the world, but it can be prosperous. That's the promise that's in this book. God will honor his word always. My walk with God is more important than what I am doing for God. My walk with God is more important than what I am doing for God. For a fervent walk with God will keep me serving God when I don't feel like it. Because sometimes we won't feel like it. But God is consistent and God is our anchor. That's why we come back to this book and it's ready. It is so ready to feed us. Number 8. Walk with God helps us to be able to teach others. Teach others. I'm not walking with God just so that I can have this. The first 7, wonderful. But that's not the reason. The only reason I'm walking with God. I'm walking with God so that I can tell somebody else. Let me tell you about the peace that God has given me right now. I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with that. I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with that. Somebody, you know, People know you deal with things, and yet you have a smile somehow on your face. How do you have a smile on your face? I know you're going through a difficult time right now. I'll tell you how I have a smile on my face, because God's word is peaceful to me. Because God's word gives me joy unspeakable and full of glory. How could somebody stand and give a testimony that has cancer and just say God is good and this and that and everything? How? Not because that person's a super Christian necessarily, but because of what the Word of God does in that person's life. How can we go through this or that? And I don't know what your this or that is, but everyone has gone through it or you'll go through it again. How can we go through it and on the other end of it say, blessed be the name of the Lord, like Job? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. How can we do that? I'll tell you how we can do that. It's because we have a walk with God. It's not in us. We can't do it. But our walk with God will do it for us. But then it helps us to be able to teach someone else the goodness and mercy and grace of God. Pastor friend of mine wrote this statement. Said this statement. I give it to you in closing. A little bit lengthy, so listen carefully and just try to take it in. As we follow on to know the Lord, we are inevitably drawn directly to Him. Often that involves a separating experience so that those around us, while no less loved than before, are no longer dependent on. We find our souls drawn to Him alone. When we walk with God, and we are satisfied. That's what I want. When we walk with God, and we are satisfied. There's too much that this world has to offer, but it never satisfies. This book right here, it satisfies the sin-sick soul with salvation. It satisfies the weary heart with joy. It satisfies the nervous doubting with peace. This book will satisfy. Have a walk with God. Major on the Word of God. You'll never be sorry that you spent time in this book right here. Get in it and get it in you.